Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we made it one movie into 2024 before we're doing one that Henley is not going to like.
Fuck, really? I didn't know that. You gave me no warning.
Yeah, sorry, Hen.
I'm sorry, Henley. It was an accident, kind of. I'll explain more later.
It was an accident, kind of.
Wait, Emily, did you see it too?
No, but she did tell me last night that you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Fuck. I'm sorry.
Fuck. I really am sorry.
So if you want to skip ahead to our movie recap, you can check the timestamps in the episode description. Because before we get into that, we are going to check in with each other. And I have to know, Emily Henley, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Well, the first thing is not scary, which is that Joel and I are getting married.
Whee!
No, it's really fucking great. It's the best thing ever. So that's not scary. That's wonderful. But we decided. So a couple things. Wedding shit is fucking scary and annoying immediately.
Like, stressful.
It's stressful. We're doing a really small wedding, really chill. We're like opting out of a lot of the more traditional wedding things.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, there's plenty to be stressed about.
Because you are still hosting a huge party, you know? It's like you're hosting a large wedding party.
It's tiny, but for a party, it's absolutely huge. I've never organized a party for this many people, and it's like out of town, so I was like totally panicked, but we like booked a date and it's not like, you know, some people book weddings like 2 years in advance. Like, yeah. we are not we are getting married much sooner than that. And so I was like, oh my God, people have to book their travel. People have to book their rooms. I need to reach out to everybody. We need to book our photographer. We need to like all of a sudden just like, fuck. We like Joel and I got so we decided that we were engaged to each other in July and just got to keep it to ourselves for several months, which was really wonderful. And we like took that time to think about what the kind of wedding we want. And we took that time to like go get our rings together. And like, it was really wonderful and calm.
Beautiful rings, by the way.
Thank you. And we, you know, non-traditionally sort of just decided it was time. We were ready to get married and then planned sort of a proposal basically for and to our friends to be like, we're engaged, which is very, very fun. But part of what is so interesting about weddings and scary in its own way is like, I'm really getting very triggered by like the wedding binary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, immediately you get engaged, you tell people you're engaged, and a lot of the first questions are, how did he do it? You know, how did he propose?
Right.
Or, you know, they see the ring, they're like, wow, he did good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all, it's like, those are nice. The intention behind those things is very nice. And it's like no shame on people who get their rings, you know, a surprise proposal. Like I've heard some incredible proposal stories from friends since we got engaged. And like I've been present at some friends' proposals. Like it's a lovely thing to do. That isn't how we decided we wanted to do it. But like there's just so many expectations of how it's supposed to go and like how it happens. And also, we're like a cis hetero couple and I'm triggered by how these like questions right. are being framed to me. And I can only imagine how much more frustrating it is for many, many other couples. So that's just crazy being like, wow, we really just have like one way we think all this goes.
It's so backwards because it so immediately puts
weird.
The power dynamic is all fucking off. If it's like the girl is supposed to be waiting patiently,
just wait for a proposal. Hope for you the like man. A ring. Lie if you don't. Like it's just
the institution of marriage is rooted in patriarchy and like buying women and dowries and shit. So it's like there's a lot of lingering things.
So
of that.
Much and like. Oh, man, so many things. And this is my second marriage. And so a lot is like flashing back to me about my first, which I was 22, which is, you know,
child bride.
Absolutely too young.
A little
too early. It works for some. Whatever. It was not, you know, whatever. Here I am. But none of that occurred to me at the time. And I'm like thinking back now to so many things that I'm like, why did I do that? Like that's so, you know, it's just a really fascinating experience. It's also going to be amazing and so fun and we're like absolutely thrilled, but goddamn, it's a whole fucking thing.
Right. And you're not just having it, even though you are having a party, it's a party with emotional stakes, and it seems that those emotional stakes are not just for you. It's for every single other person that you've invited. Like somehow the party becomes about
everyone's party.
It's about everyone.
Yeah. And it's like really interesting because it is like people say, well, it's your wedding. You should have, it should only be about you. It's your wedding day. And then like that, I mean, I always want to do only what I want to do. you know this, but it is like other people do have feelings and you don't want to disregard other people. It's just like it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Both things can be true at the same time. Like it should be all about you and your wants and needs, but also other people have wants and needs and that's important too. But how important should it be, and how do you, man, you guys, we booked our date on January 2nd. And it is January 7th. And the past 5 days have been so fucking stressful. We spent 6 months being engaged and like thinking about what our wedding would be. Just and like, it pretty much chilling. Is going to be what we just fucking chilling live. And it's all partially why we were like, let's just keep this to ourselves for a while, because we knew it was going to like become everybody else's thing. And a lot of that is like wonderful that it's about people loving you and like wanting to be part of something with you. And like, you know, that's really lovely.
Just a lot of managing, just, a lot of other people's.
It's a lot of managing.
Ideas and, it's a lot and expectations.
You know, I wasn't, as previously mentioned, I was an absolute child the last time I did this. And it's just doing it as an adult is really fascinating.
Yeah.
It's, guys, it's just, I mean, Henley, you done it. It's crazy.
Oh, I did it. I did it, but I did it during COVID and also while pregnant.
And a postpartum, absolute, like, yeah, you sort of, it was a bit of a haze for you, I feel like.
I gotta say, I disassociated planning.
Yeah.
I'm sure really that disassociated
a lot.
I a lot of the choices that I was making, I was like, sure, that seems okay.
I can't make decisions about real basic stuff, so I feel I wouldn't do well.
Yeah. Also, get a photographer you really like. I hope she's not listening. I really didn't like the photographer we had.
You got gorgeous pictures. Oh, but she was like mean, right?
She was bossing us
around. She's not listening.
The pictures were, I liked the pictures. The pictures were great. It's
she
more
was
like,
a little bit.
She was like.
She was a little bit mean.
They brought Silas out. He was 2.5 months old. And so he had been with a babysitter. And then the babysitter brought him over for some pictures. And I like was so excited Silas was there. And the photographer goes, oh, this is the first time you've looked happy all day.
Oh my God.
That is so rude. Oh my God. Okay, that's another thing is like
the town bitch.
Your photographer was the town bitch. And I'm gonna try my best not to hire the town bitch for my wedding. I really am ready to just say, and this won't happen. But like literally nobody is allowed to say anything not nice to me from now until after the wedding.
You are not
allowed to say every decision I make, every single thing that happens, everything about the wedding, everything about your hotel stay, everything about your travel. It needs to be great or you can't say anything to me. I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it. I actually don't care about anybody else's opinions on anything for the next 9 months. Like, I really don't care.
I don't want
to hear it. It's crazy how immediately I'm like, well, shut up. Like, I can't, like, I'm just like, you better love it or shut up. You better love it or shut up. I can't.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I am fucking ecstatic. Joel is the best person in the world.
I'm so happy for you guys. I've said it to you many times. Your and Joel's love is inspiring to all who know you.
Mm-hmm, oh my God.
And it's the most beautiful thing. I feel privileged to know you both and to witness it. And I just truly couldn't be happier for you.
Oh my God. Thank you. Well, save it for the freaking wedding officiant.
Ah, Henley, did you know that? I'm officiating.
Oh my God. I can't think of a better officiator. You fucking know how to use a microphone, girl.
And that was the number one factor we were considering. We're like, okay, so who do we know that knows how to use a microphone?
Oh, Sammy, that's so good. You're going to have to take the biggest beta blocker beforehand.
I know. I do feel a little bad.
I feel prepared because, like I said, I could write a novel about your guys' love and how pure and good it is. So I feel like,
oh my God,
prepared.
Yes, I'm so
excited.
Be
great.
We're gonna
have a great time.
Best fucking wedding ever.
And if it's not, don't fucking say shit to me. I don't want to hear it. Anyway, everything's good. Everything's great. 2024. You know, we're just jumping right in. Is there anything scary happened to you guys?
Henley, any huge life changes?
No huge life changes. I am a little worried that everyone at the church thinks my name's Hadley. Did I tell you guys about this?
Oh, no.
So
I'm sorry, it's not funny, but it's so
my
funny.
My mom calls you Haley, and every time I say you mean Henley, and she goes, I said Henley, and she like knows that your name is Henley. And then I'm like, no, you said Haley again, and she's like, no, her name. Her name's Henley. I know her name is Henley.
That's what I said. H-A-Y-L-E-Y Henley. That's what I said.
It's making, it's breaking my brain. So there have been multiple times where the Christchurch Greenwich has posted on the Instagram, congratulations to Rev Tim and his wife Hadley.
Okay, well, that's a pretty big indicator that they think your name is
So no. So then Tim has had to say, or like text them and be like, you know, it's Henley. So you got to change that. And they change it. 3 weeks later, Reverend Tim and his wife Hadley.
Who's writing these captions?
Yeah, maybe it's just one person who think or who wishes your name was Hadley. They just keep trying to force the issue.
But it's spreading like a disease. So then I was in the bookstore on the campus of the church, and the woman walks in, and I hear her in the distance. She says to the bookstore manager, she says, does Hadley know she gets a 20% discount? The bookstore manager, I'm pretty sure knows my name is Henley.
Uh-huh.
But I could see it, the fear in her eyes that maybe my name
maybe
is actually
Hadley.
Maybe it's
oh.
Hadley.
Oh.
And she,
oh,
she,
no.
she had just called me Henley, and I could see in her eyes, oh no, is her name Hadley? And I was like, I didn't say anything. And then the other woman came up to me and she goes, you get 20% discount. Okay. I just want you to know that. And I was so quick. I didn't have a chance to be like, did you just call me Hadley? My name's not. So I was like, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let it lie.
Yeah.
So I go, I hang out in the bookstore for a little bit. I decide to buy a couple little knickknacks. I go to
20%
the front.
Off, I hope.
Oh, 20% off, baby. I go to the front. The bookstore manager, not the bookstore manager, but her husband rings me up and he goes, happy holidays, Hadley.
Oh no. Immediately it's spreading.
Oh no.
And I,
he was like so proud. He wanted to let you know that he knows that your name is Hadley. he was like, I'm gonna set the record straight here.
There were other people like waiting in line. There were people like gabbing next to us.
You're gonna have to change your name to Hadley.
I left. I felt so ashamed. I should have said something. I should have stood up for myself.
Sometimes
next time
it's
I will.
Hard, I feel like.
Yeah. It's also because you don't want to make them feel.
Right. It would be so embarrassing.
Because what are you supposed to say? Like, oh, it's Henley. Henley.
We've had so many conversations and it's Henley.
Yeah.
You need to. Should we just get you a bunch of like monogrammed sweatshirts to start wearing around?
I feel like you need to wear Henley shirts constantly and just be like, it's
oh,
Henley, like
even
the shirt.
Better.
And you can just hold up your shirt and be like, remember the shirt, Henley.
They have name
create
tags.
Create some association.
They have name tags at the church. And I think I'm just going to literally wear the name tag matter what, even when it's not the church service. Because you guys, they had a welcoming party for us, right? They had a welcome party for us. They posted about it on social media, a whole reel, us, you know, meeting everyone in it. In the caption and on the reel, it said, welcome Hadley Hamlin. Hadley Hamlin.
Which is not your name
at all.
Actually, no part of your name is there.
No. My name is Henley Cox, not Hadley Hamlin. Nonetheless, you had an 150 person welcome party for someone named Hadley Hamlin, not me.
What if you just like, what? Who is Hadley Hamlin? You know,
yeah,
what if we treat this as a bit of a like, Greenwich Henley is actually Hadley Hamlin.
It's your Greenwich alter ego.
And you, like, maybe you just start embodying Hadley Hamlin. Like, I kind of want to know what her deal is.
Hadley Hamlin grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and you better believe she has a 15 place silver setting. You better believe.
Yeah, oh, Hadley definitely does.
She has a full tea service and soup tureen from her great grandmother, and they are displayed in her dining room.
Was she prom queen, maybe?
She was.
I think she was head of the. She was head of student council.
She was head of student council. Yes.
She could have been prom queen.
Horse girl.
But
she was a horse girl. And she's also then head of junior league of Greenwich. Junior league.
Yeah.
Does she play golf?
She has a gluten intolerance.
She has a gluten intolerance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She does golf, but only at the Stanwich Club.
Yes, she does golf.
Yeah.
What else about Hadley Hamlin? Hadley Hamlin is scary. You don't want to fuck with her.
Oh.
Anyway, Hadley Hamlin is me. If you ever want to get to know the real me, you'll have to figure out my real name. So until then, you're just going to know my alter ego, Hadley, who is actually a raging bitch.
Yeah. You call me Hadley, you're going to talk to Hadley.
She God, is have you nice. Met Hadley? She is really rude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Hen, that's tough. That is tough. And you are going to have to, yeah, wear your name tag all the time.
I don't want to be erased. I don't want to be erased here in Connecticut.
No.
I didn't move to Connecticut to be erased. You know?
Yeah. We got to start correcting people.
Should I start commenting on every... Should I make a burner account and then start commenting on every single Greenwich post?
Well, you might have noticed that Tim on his Instagram on Christmas Day said, but the real, like, the real gift is, in all caps, Henley Clayton Cox. Like, it's Henley. It's Henley.
He should make his, like, Instagram bio husband to...
Henley. That's a really good idea. I'm going to do that after this. All right, Sammy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit sicky. Maybe you hear my voice is a little congested. Everybody is sick right now, or has been sick in the last month, as I'm sure you all know. And it's been 3 weeks since we recorded last, so plenty of time here for me to think of anything scary happening. And you would think that I would have come up with something, but I did not. And I'm going to talk about two dream-related things.
Ooh. Oh, hell yeah.
It's been a while since we talked about dreams, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Early days, Henley used to talk about her cat dreams pretty regularly.
Oh, I did have some good dreams. Fuck, now I gotta remember them.
You had a dream about a cat with no legs.
No. I mean, like, a couple nights ago, I had a dream that I would like to share. But I gotta remember it first. This is why you gotta have a dream journal. But man, it's tough to have a dream journal.
Yeah, well, and this, I feel like, fits well with that. Because the first thing was the other night, I woke up at like 3 a.m. and just sat up straight going, what? What?
Oh, what? Really? That's scary.
And I had no memory of what I was dreaming. And so I like woke myself up saying what, and then was like, wait, what? What?
Then it just kept going to what meant something else.
Wait, what?
And my cats were, well, Mac was asleep on the bed looking at me like, yeah, what? What? And then I had this dream last night that's really not even worth talking about. It's like, so
tell us anyway.
But it's one of those things, you know, how similar to the Heim sister dream, like when it's happening, yeah, it feels like, wait, this is something. This is something that people are going to want to hear. And then
this is important, what's happening.
And then as... You're just like, wait, this is nothing. This is absolutely nothing. So in my dream, there was a woman who looked vaguely like Angelina Jolie. Very beautiful, but not Angelina Jolie. And I remember waking up and being like, interesting that my brain was like taking pieces of Angelina Jolie and like, but not her.
But making sure you knew. Yeah, it's not her,
but it just looks like her. And we were at a party and this woman left and just like handed me all her trash in a way that was like as if she was giving me a gift. And I took it just based on her body language of like, oh, she's, this is an offering. And then she left and walked out. And I was like so mad. Just like that fucking bitch just gave me all her trash and acted like she was giving me a present.
Whoa, this is a metaphor if I've ever heard one.
And I woke up really thinking like, wow, honestly, that'd be a really funny thing to do, is just like someone you don't like, you just give them a handful of trash. And again, it's like something that's really nothing. It's really not anything at all.
You're not going to take anyone's shit anymore.
The morning being like, wow, this is really, really funny. And then
now that I'm saying it, it's not. That's generous of you, Henry, to read into a meaning behind it. I think, yeah, let's go with that. I'm not going to take anybody's shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah.
Dreams are so crazy.
Dreams are so crazy.
Do you guys ever wake up with that feeling of like, wow, that dream was extremely profound?
Yes.
And I just solved, you know, world hunger or something equally important. Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, wait, no, she just handed me trash. Anyways, pretty interesting collection of scary things today. 2024 is going to be an interesting year.
I think so.
And yeah, sorry, Henley. As I mentioned, you're not going to like today's movie because today we are talking about a film called The Eyes of My Mother. Came out in 2016, written and directed by Nicholas Pesci, starring Kika Magelheis. That can't be right. I'm sorry, Kika. Paul Nazak, Diana Agostini, Flora Diaz, Claire Wong, and Will Brill. And it is streaming on Hulu. This movie's 77 minutes. That's why I picked it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we love to see that.
I was in a pinch for time, I'll be honest. I did some poor planning, and so that is the accident that happened, Henley. I was just like, what's the shortest horror movie I could watch for free right now? And this was the winner.
And Mother is in the title, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there were hints, I guess, in the title.
Ooh, okay, man, I really wish that I had a glass of tequila in front of me. There's no alcohol in our house right now, which is really upsetting.
What?
I don't even believe that.
You drank it all during the holidays?
Just because we literally drank it all.
I was
going to
say, I drank more in December than I think I drank in all of 2023. I hope we're same. All hydrating same. In January. If you're not doing a dry January, at least let's hydrate. Let's just replenish some of our vitamins. Take some emergency as some vitamin B.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. And I'm taking it. And I'm leading by example, so.
Thank you. She's an inspiration.
You're all of our moms.
What's the deal with vitamin B?
It's good for energy levels, I think. And
That sounds nice.
I mean, there's all kinds of... There's B6, there's B12, there's niacin is a B. You know.
All right.
Don't ask me to differentiate.
I take a D, but I feel like...
D is like sunlight, right?
Uh-huh. I think so, yeah.
I take
it's good for the immune system.
D and K. I take some B. I take biotin.
I take biotin. I gotta get some B.
That's kind of it.
I gotta get some B.
You gotta get some B. I feel like, yeah, it's good for energy levels. And brain health. Really, if you've been drinking a lot, milk thistle, you could do some milk thistle. That's a good one to restore
brain
specifically
health?
To do with
liver.
Yeah, I think it's liver.
I need something to make my brain work again. So any ideas?
Yeah,
I'll
drop
take.
Some in the comments. Any ideas? Ginkgo biloba, maybe?
What did you just say?
Ginkgo biloba.
You never certainly heard of ginkgo biloba? Sounds fun. I've heard of ginkgo, but not the whole thing you just said.
I've been having a concoction while we're talking about it since giving birth that someone recommended to me, but it would be good for anyone. It's magnesium, powdered magnesium, then drops of vitamin D, and then drops of, what's it called? Trace mineral drops.
Trace minerals I've had nice results with as well.
Yes. And I make that
sounds
into a nice
promising.
Little... It's supposed to be super hydrating and lots of nutrients and vitamin D for, I do the drops. There's like a brand that's really good and that's for your immune system. And I got to say, everyone in my family has gotten ragingly sick except for me.
Oh, so,
might be working.
She's got the secret.
Sounds promising.
Mm-hmm.
All right. great. That's
all right.
good stuff.
All right,
let's
just do it. Let's just rip it off and you just tell me the worst of it real quick, okay?
Well, that's going to be tough because the worst stuff's all at the end, but okay. I'll tell you that this movie has a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 63% on Metacritic, and a 6.2 on IMDb. Budget was $300,000. It made $48,500, but it was released on VOD at the same time as it was released in the theaters. And it's a small little indie film. It was picked up at Sundance. This is this director's directorial debut. And yeah, I think it was distributed by Magnet Films or something. So I think it just flew a little under the radar. But it has been requested a lot by our patrons, and it had been on my list for a while. So I was happy to finally check it out because, again, 77 minutes.
Yeah, I mean.
And we are going to watch the trailer at the end, so it will not be included in the episode. But if you want to watch our video trailer reaction, that will be available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast. But we are just going to get right into this recap. Henley, how are you feeling?
TBD, honestly. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Let's find out.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes. Variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it, and it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them, and now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
We begin POV through the windshield of a truck driving down a remote country road. This is black and white. The truck driver comes upon a woman who is walking in the middle of the road that seems lost, disoriented. She's walking very slowly and he honks at her. And instead of getting out of the way, she falls to her hands and knees and lays down in the road in front of him. He runs out of the truck, runs to her, sees something is wrong, runs back to his truck. Cut to black, main title. The Eyes of My Mother. And now we are with a little girl and her mother.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Is it still black and white?
Yes, the whole movie's black and white. The cinematography is gorgeous. Looks really good. Do you guys have this experience? I'm always annoyed when a movie is black and white. And then by the end of it, I'm like, that was gorgeous, stunning, perfect decision.
Yeah, I think it just like you have to sort of adjust to it. It like feels like it takes a lot of work, but then you're like, oh, no, I can still see it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like in horror, too, because there's a lot of blood, I always get annoyed. It's like, well, I can't tell if it's blood or not because it's black. I need to see it red.
It's the same colors.
But it does look really good. And
is this an English language movie?
It is mostly English and some Portuguese. And this is also part of what I liked about it is it has this kind of unstuck in time and space feeling. It took me forever to pinpoint where we were, what period of time we were in. I
feel like black and white contributes to that too, because you can't does the stuff look modern? I don't know.
Right. And they're in the countryside. So it's, you know, there's no, you know, really way to gauge, but eventually you do see a car. I think it's in the Midwest in, I don't know, the 50s or 60s.
Okay.
But that could be wrong.
How old is the daughter?
Let's say 8. All kids are 8.
All right.
Okay. Fair enough.
And the little girl's name is Francisca, and her mother is telling her about Saint Francis, saying that they're in the garden and they're looking at a little nest of eggs. And I think there's a Saint Francis statue in the garden is why she's telling the story of Saint Francis, who saw a vision of an angel in the sky and then got stigmata. She says, but loneliness can do strange things to the mind. Like he was alone for a long time before that happened. And then he died of an eye condition that also caused psychosis. So when she was telling the story in the beginning, I was like, what is this going to have to do with anything? It's kind of it does have to do with some stuff. So we're just going to remember Saint Francis. And Francisca's looking at this little bird nest egg and she pokes her finger into it and crushes it, and her mom says, oh no, like what have you done. And she's looking at it very like scientifically almost, so we're not sure if this is a little sociopath or just someone who doesn't understand what she has just done. Eggs are, I hate to think about what eggs are.
I know.
I don't do it.
Hadley doesn't even eat eggs.
Hadley has never touched an egg in her whole goddamn life.
Hadley is mainly vegan, but she does sometimes eat fish for the omega-3s.
And only fish that she's caught herself.
No, only when she goes fly fishing.
Yeah.
Does she ever eat
fish? Which she's amazing at.
Which she's really good at.
What can't Hadley do?
Oh, man.
That is one thing I really like about Hadley is she's really good at a lot of stuff.
Hadley is really intimidating.
My favorite thing about Hadley is that she knows her way around a vessel.
Oh, yes, God, she does.
She does. Yeah, she knows which one's the port, which one's whatever else it is that we can literally never remember. She knows.
She knows starboard.
Yep.
She knows it all. She,
the jib and stuff.
She can fucking the jib, the jab. Skipper that skip.
She can skip in the jib jab. She does it all. Okay, cut to black again. Part 1, mother.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. We see Francisca and her mother in the kitchen now, and there is a decapitated cow's head on the table that they are cutting into. And we're learning that her mother used to be an eye surgeon. And so she's showing her that cow's eyes are actually basically exactly the same as human eyes. They're just bigger. And she's demonstrating the anatomy of a cow's eye and showing her these kind of gnarly graphic things cutting into eyes. And Francisca is taking this in again, very studiously and looking really fascinated by this in a way that's like, maybe we should be kind of grossed out by this, but I don't know. I don't want to tell Francisca how to feel, but she's making me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She's a scientist. That's okay.
She's a scientist. And is that okay? We'll find out.
Okay.
her mom is Portuguese. And so they have, I believe, immigrated to America because they go back and forth speaking Portuguese and English. So she was a surgeon in Portugal, and now they live on a farm somewhere in America.
Then is it maybe more modern day? Because could a woman be an eye surgeon in the 50s?
That's true. The only reason I said 50s or 60s is because of the look of the car that I saw a little later.
Yeah.
But they could just have a classic
maybe
car.
Maybe it's like doing a It Follows thing where it's like not tied to anything.
I thought about It Follows because I think there are choices that are made to make it feel more modern and to, yeah, make it harder to pin down when it is taking place.
Yeah.
Cool.
So they are alone on the farm when a man arrives, the scariest thing that could happen.
Man.
He first is talking to Francisca when she's sitting alone on the lawn, and the mother comes out and he's overly chipper saying, "I was just getting to know Francisca here." And it's like, mm-mm, motherfucker, get away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her, "Is your husband home?"
We hate that.
She says, "He'll be home any minute. And we don't want whatever it is that you're selling." And he says he's not selling anything, but he just really needs to use the bathroom. So would it be all right if he comes in to use the bathroom?
Mm-mm.
And he goes inside. She does let him in. Big Mm-mm. mistake. He says, "Is your husband usually late?"
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
She's looking nervous. And he reminds her, "You did say he would be here any minute. It's been, you know, 5 minutes now, 10 minutes or something. Like, he's not here yet. Is he usually this late?" And she says, "You know, just use the bathroom and leave. Don't want any trouble." And he's like, "I'd like you to show me where the bathroom is." And she says, "It's around the corner to the right through the hall." And he's like, "No, like, can you please show me, take me there?"
Oh, my God. Fuck.
And
you.
She asks him to leave. She says, "All right, you need to get out of my house right now." He pulls a gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Francisca's in the house kind of behind her mother, cowering. Cowering's not necessarily an insult, right? Like, she should be cowering.
No, cowering.
I don't mean she's a, like, pussy.
Yeah. No,
her
it's
daughter's
appropriate.
Probably a little pussy.
She's appropriate to be
she's
cowering.
She's being a real baby about it. And he has Francisca sit down at the dining table while the mother leads him to the bathroom. We don't see what happens. Cut to later in the day. We see the dad returning home.
Oh, there is a husband.
Yes, I was surprised by that as well. I thought this was a fictional husband, but there is a husband and he's coming home now. And he comes in to find Francisca sitting alone at the dining table. There's a banging noise happening that we don't know what it is. And he asks Francisca, "What's going on? Where's your mom?" She says, "I couldn't leave her." And now we're hearing a man laughing with the banging noise, like repetitive thump, thump, thump.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Don't like whatever this is. The dad pinpoints it to that bathroom, opens the door, and the mom, it's just a very tiny glimpse. The mom is dead in the bathtub and he's just beating her, like pulverizing her with, I think the butt of the gun.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
She dead. And the dad is able to knock out Charlie and knocks him unconscious.
Ooh.
Now we see him dragging Charlie to the barn out back and chaining him up. Kind of an interesting choice of what to do in this situation. All while Francisca's watching, taking it all in. And then he goes back inside and turns on the TV. Francisca's scrubbing some blood off the floor.
What the hell?
She gets in bed that night and the dad comes up and says, I need help with your mother. Makes this little girl help him put her mother's body in a wheelbarrow to take out into the
forest
and bury her.
What? Why are we not calling the police?
You know,
why are we not?
I feel like that's what makes it feel a further back in time also. But I think, yeah, I think there are phones in this. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we see phones at some point. So,
yeah, because like, why didn't she call the police as soon as why did she not? Yeah.
Okay. It seems like this family is making some strange decisions.
Yeah.
So now Francisca and her dad are both watching TV and we just hear Charlie from the barn yelling, Franny, Fran, Franny. Cut to her in the barn with him. He's chained down, laying down on his back. His wrists and ankles are chained to the ground.
Oh, okay, that's not what I expected.
Yeah, I thought he would be like hung up.
Yeah.
He's pinned down and Francisca is giving him stitches. She asks him, why us? He tells her, you let me in. Real strangers, classic Klein.
Bullshit.
You were here. You said yes. Yeah. Speak no evil.
Go fuck yourselves.
And she asks him why he does it. And he has a big smile on his face. And he says, because it feels amazing.
Ugh.
And he says, you're going to kill me, right? And Francisca says, why would I kill you? You're my only friend. I'm going to take care of you. And she's being very tender with him.
What the fuck?
Cut to a couple hours later, her with a bag of what looks like eyeballs and something else. And he now has bandages around his eyes and throat.
So she just removed those eyeballs, just like the cow's eyeballs.
Yeah.
Wow, he really should have done this before she got the lesson on how to remove the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came a day too late.
Oh my God. I'm not looking forward to looking up Google images for this one. No thanks.
They're not bad. It actually, I will say, doesn't show tons of... It just implies a lot and cuts away from most of the actual moments of violence. So it might not be too bad. So after this, she comes back into the main house, sits next to her dad on the couch and says he won't make any more noise. Her dad looks very stone-faced, not really responding to her. We're confused about their relationship and his headspace in this moment. She says, I love you, daddy, and is trying to hold his hand and he's just kind of not responsive to her. Then we see him taking a bath later, looking really upset. He's shaking and kind of rocking back and forth. Like, what has he gotten himself into? But I mean, same question. Why did you do these things?
What's going on? Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And your daughter is someone who cuts out people's eyes and tongues. So that's where we have some pretty big fish to fry.
Next day, we see Francisca skipping through the fields, collecting mice and other vermin. And cut to her feeding Charlie what looks like smushed up vermin. And he's scarfing it down. I think he must be very starving. This must be a while later. And he's making these horrible noises like.
Ew. Ew.
And she goes back inside later that night and puts on some music and is dancing with her father. They have a nice father-daughter dance. So maybe we can accept this new normal of Charlie in the barn and we can all still be a happy family.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Cut to black, part two, father.
Okay.
Time jump. We see Francisca is now, looks to be a young adult, either 19, early 20s-ish. And her father is definitely dying. She's caring for him in his final days. He's not long for this world. She's being very sweet with him, but you know, there's no like conversations happening, and we're getting the impression that she might be pretty lonely in this world. Mm-hmm. She goes out to feed the cows. All the cows are scared of her. They all move away whenever she approaches.
Oh, God.
She's doing all her farm chores, hanging the laundry on the clothesline. Looks like a pretty charmed life, aside from all of the main details. And as she finishes her chores, she goes into that barn, feeds Charlie. He is still chained up there.
Oh, yikes.
Ooh, he's really regretting his choice.
Really don't like that. Yeah.
And he curls up basically in her lap. It lays his head on her lap as she dribbles nasty meat into his mouth and he's slurping it.
Ew.
And she goes back inside and her dad's body is limp next to her. She's like propped him up to watch TV. And then cut to him in the bathtub, the dad in the bathtub on his side. And I feel like it specifically doesn't show us how he got there, but my presumption is she had to put him there. And so it seems like she's chosen to drown him as a way to kill him. But she's devastated. She's sobbing and she gets in the tub with him and she's like holding his dead body and saying, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. Like, what do I do without you? I love you. Please don't do this. Please don't go. And it's a very, very beautiful shot. Sorry to say. So now she is alone. I guess she still has Charlie.
Well, yeah.
So is Charlie like chained? He's like chained up in the same way that he was before. Like, does he have?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
He's got like some amount of space he can move. The chains have a little bit of give. It's like a dog on a leash. Like he can has like a 5-foot radius. He can move around.
Ew. Okay.
Now, Francisca decides to drive a couple towns over to a bar for some human interaction.
Can't imagine she's going to be great at it.
Yeah. Mm. And she brings home a girl, Kimiko.
Oh, Kimiko. Obviously, you made a big mistake.
And the two of them go back, to Francisca's house and they both seem nervous. Kimiko is nervous for the wrong reason, but she is, you know, like, oh, I don't usually do this. I don't come home with people. Francisca says,
that would have been a good rule to stick to.
Yeah. Francisca says, me neither. It's awkward between them. But Kimiko looks at some framed photos on the dresser or whatever bookshelf and sees, is this your mom? Is she so beautiful? Brings up her mom, asks Francisca about her. Francisca says, oh yeah, she was a really, really good mom. She says, tell me more about her. What did she do? And she says how they used to do dissections together and that she was an eye surgeon in Portugal. And she says, I was always fascinated by how the inside of bodies looked. Kimiko says, we dissected a cat in school once and I always thought it was really gross. Did you guys dissect cats in school?
No,
not a cat. We did a fetal pig.
Oh, I feel like we might have done a pig at some point.
We did cats and it was gnarly.
Yeah, cats not okay.
That's really not. Yeah,
Okay. We did frogs and my frog was super pregnant and it was just like filled with eggs.
There was pregnant cats and it was
oh, that's upsetting.
Really upsetting. And for some reason our teacher made it like extra credit if you could get the brain out, and so people were like trying to crush the cat skulls. Sorry, this is like a traumatizing memory I'm just having. That was very disturbing, and that was in high school. I think that was junior year of high school. Why did we do that?
Why did we all have to do that?
No.
Ugh. No. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, so anyone that's like really into that, that's like, this is cool and I love this, you know, we just might want to be a little cautious around those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not saying all of those people turn out to be murderers.
Some of them turn out to be doctors.
You're just going to keep an eye on it. We're going to keep an eye.
We're going to just flag it. You know, we're going to flag it. And if you prove that you're not a murderer, then great.
Great.
Just prove it. Shouldn't be that hard.
So Kimiko asks Francisca, where is she now? What happened to her? We're talking about her in past tense. So Kimiko's getting the, you know, idea that she is no longer with us. Francisca confirms, yes, she was killed when I was a child. Kimiko is so empathetic about this. She leans in and gives Francisca this big hug. Francisca's obviously hasn't had affectionate human contact maybe in decades or maybe ever. We didn't necessarily see it happening between her and her mom. It might have, but certainly it wasn't happening with her dad. So Francisca looks surprised, but like she's enjoying this hug, and then they have a kiss and it's cute and oh my God, maybe life can be good. And then Kimiko asks, and what about your dad? Where's he? And Francisca says, I killed him.
Oh my God.
And Kimiko pretty quick is like, oh, okay, I better go. I better get home.
Oh man.
Francisca tries to backpedal, says, no, that was a stupid joke. I'm sorry. And Kimiko is like, that's okay. Like, I'm really tired and I'm just want to get home. I'm going to call a cab. Gets up. This is where we see the phone. She does try to call a cab, but the phone line is dead. She's starting to get more panicked. Francisca is being like, no, please stay safe. Please don't go. Please don't go. And she's like, no, I just need to go. I need to go. And they're getting a little like closer in each other's faces as she's trying to make it to the door. And Francisca's blocking the door. Cut to next morning. Francisca mopping blood off the floor.
No. Jesus.
And back to laying alone in her bed. Oh, I didn't mention that her and her dad slept in bed together. So this like empty bed is a memory of the loss of a family member and anyone in her life. So she's alone in bed now, wearing the sexiest nasty nightgown I've ever seen.
Oh,
it's sheer, and she has like white little LeBron panties set on underneath. It's really nice. It's a really good looking, but it's definitely a nasty nightgown. And I think a nasty nightgown can be sexy.
I think so too.
Sure.
She gets up, she gets out of bed, and she goes out to the barn, and she unchains Charlie, brings him inside, gives him a bath, takes the bandages off his eyes, and we see his skin is, it's hard to tell in the black and white. This is where I would have liked to see some color, but it looks like burned, and it's just really not good. Maybe like, if you have like damp things on your face,
ew,
what would happen? Can your face mold?
It would be like, yeah,
like sores, you think like a bed sore kind of.
Yeah, he has like sores on his face. His skin is kind of flaking off in places.
Ew.
He's probably definitely not getting the right nutrients from all those.
No, he's not getting his B's.
No, he needs a little congel.
He needs D for sure.
He needs a little magnesium.
D and K.
Trace minerals. He's getting none of it.
None of that. And his eyes are swollen shut. No eyes. And after she bathes him, she sets him down in the bed, gets naked. And we are led to believe that they have sex. Doesn't show it.
What?
But I believe that is what happened.
Whoa, is he chained up, or okay, at this point is he able to go?
No, he's not chained up. So she, it cuts to her waking up in the middle of the night, reaching over to his side of the bed. He's gone.
Yeah.
She looks out the window. He has not gotten far because he is blind and,
oh God,
does not really stand a chance here. And so she grabs a knife, kind of slowly goes out. It's this long shot of him, of her catching up to him. You see him trying to run, but running in the wrong direction, mm-hmm, running towards a tree, running, like circling back. And eventually they catch up. She catches up to him, stabs him repeatedly, and she's holding him as if it's a tender embrace. And the stabbing is very reminiscent of like penetrative sex. It's just like she's stabbing him as if it's like sexually fulfilling for her. Like she's enjoying it. And like kissing his neck while stroking him.
Ew.
She's stroking him while she's killing him, and we're hearing him die, and she stabs him so many times.
I mean, I feel like if you're him,
you're probably like, thank God.
I want death. Like, yeah, thank God. Yeah, like fucking end this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And after he dies, she whispers in his ear, "You were right. It feels amazing."
I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happens next.
She goes back inside and her father's corpse is propped up in a chair. She turns on the song they used to dance together to, and she's dancing around in the living room by herself, momentarily feeling pretty good. She had a big night. Hard cut to her using a fucking hacksaw to chop up the bodies. You don't see whose body it is, but there's three contenders: Dad, Charlie, Kimiko. I mean, presumably all of them have been chopped up and bagged and being put in the fridge, like their organs removed, and like a butcher would do,
mm-hmm,
or a surgeon, precisely cut up in like a way that looks, you know, like the right way to
the
cut
right
up a
way
body
to do it, yeah.
But she's alone again. And after she's gotten rid of the bodies, she's crying and she talks to her mother out loud and says, "Mom, what am I going to do? Please help me." She's crying as she walks out into the woods, overcome with grief and loneliness, and kind of collapses and sleeps in the woods, wakes up, hitches a ride back. We see a truck pick her up from a distance, gets in, and cut to black. Part three, family. I hate to tell you, Henley, this is the part you're not gonna like.
Yeah, fuck. This is the part of my life.
But we're almost done. We now see inside the truck that picked her up. It is a mother and a baby.
Yeah, fuck.
The mother's name is Lucy. Baby is Antonio.
And baby, huh?
Baby. Yep.
Baby.
Yep. 6 months-ish. Francisca's asking, can I hold him?
Oh, no.
Mom is being very sweet. Lucy's like, oh, you know, not right now, but like, he likes his pacifier. You can give this to him. And like, he likes it when you do this. Francisca is really enamored with little baby Antonio.
I hate this.
They get back to Francisca's house. Lucy says, this is it, right? I'll just pull in here. And Francisca says one more time, can I please hold him just before I go?
No.
And Lucy says, I'm sorry, no, like we're in kind of a rush. And Francisca says, please, just one second. And Lucy says, okay, fine. And hands Antonio to Francisca, who starts speaking in Portuguese to Antonio. And she says, thank you, mother. This is the best gift you could ever have given me.
Oh,
and
no.
Lucy immediately knows that something is up based off her demeanor. And is like, what are you saying? What are you doing? And Francisca opens that door, runs into the house, holding Antonio, locks the door behind her. So Lucy is chasing, banging on the doors, trying to get in. screaming like, don't hurt him, don't hurt him, what are you doing? The house is like old, it's an old farmhouse, so she's able to break in pretty quickly, and he is following the sounds of Antonio's cries up to the second story. There's a bedroom, Antonio's on the bed crying, Lucy runs in, but as she does, Francisca pops up behind her, stabs her in the back. Lucy falls to the ground and is trying to crawl towards Antonio. Cut to back in the barn, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Francisca is performing the same surgery on Lucy that she did on Charlie.
Oh, my God. This is awful.
I wish she had killed her.
I'm so mad.
I know. It is. It's bad.
I'm so mad.
And we see that not only does she remove the eyes, she's also removed the vocal cords, which I didn't catch last time.
That's the tongue. The vocal cords.
It's
not the tongue,
it's the vocal cords. And in like rewatching it to take notes, you can see the little bag of eyes that she has in the very beginning with Charlie. You can see the vocal cords in it. Nasty. So, because yeah, she's got like a incision on her throat. And we see Lucy trying to scream, and it's just really awful stuff. And while this is all happening, you hear Antonio like crying in the background. It's really bad.
Oh my God, I hate this.
And Francisca runs into Antonio after finishing, and she's holding him and cradling him and saying, I won't let anything bad happen to you. Calms Antonio down. We see their kind of daily routine again. Francisca feeding Lucy her slop, Lucy slurping it up, starving.
Ew. Oh my God.
Cut to Antonio looking about 8.
Jesus Christ.
Calling Francisca mom. And we see Antonio is watching Francisca go in and out of the barn on a regular basis. Clearly, he believes that Francisca is his mother.
Do we think he knows what's in the barn?
No.
Okay.
They are now sleeping in bed together. Her bed has another person again. Francisca's looking happier than ever. She's got the life she's always wanted. One night, Antonio wakes up in the middle of the night, and he kind of nudges her. Mom, are you awake? She's dead asleep. So he gets up.
Oh, no.
And he decides to go to that barn.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And what he finds is a very traumatizing sight. And he's pretty cool about it, to be honest. I was like, Jesus. I feel like he doesn't even scream. He's obviously in complete shock, but he's kind of saying, this is a dream, as this woman who looks completely feral with her eyes bandaged, her throat bandaged, can't speak, is just moaning, crawling on her hands and knees and going like,
oh my God. No.
And he runs out, and he was like, it was just a dream. And the next day, Francisca is preparing breakfast or something, and he says, who's in the barn? She says, what? He says, someone's in there, a person's in there. I saw. And she gets really upset, says, I told you never to go in the barn. Like, why would you do that?
What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
and he's, you know, scared that she's yelling at him. And she softens and is hugging him. And she goes, I just would do anything for us to be together. I just want you to always remember that. Like, you're just the most important person. And I just, everything I do is so that we can be together. Middle of the night, another night, Antonio gets up and somehow unlocks the chains on Lucy. Don't really see it happen, but you see Antonio get up and go to the barn, and then we see Lucy slowly coming out of the barn. Cut to Lucy's feet, chained feet, in the middle, like walking down a lonely country road as a truck is pulling up and honking at her, and instead of getting out of the way, she just drops to the floor, lays down in front of the truck. This is the opening scene. We go back to Francisca's house, and she sees that the barn door is open, runs in there, screams, doesn't know what to do. She's calling out to her mother again, mother, what do I do? She's trying to keep it cool for Antonio. She puts him to bed that night and comforts him and is just saying like, everything's okay. And we're always going to be together. And I love you so much. And then after she's put him to bed, she goes into the woods and digs up her mom's skeleton.
Mm.
Just cradling it, hugging it, sobbing. I miss you so much. I miss you so much. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. I just wanted to make you proud. I wish you could meet Antonio. He's perfect. Really, really devastating stuff here. Very, yeah, we're not feeling great. And then we see a bunch of cop cars approaching, some sirens in the distance. She runs back inside, wakes up Antonio. She's holding him. He's obviously very scared. It's the middle of the night and she's panicked. And he's saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? She's saying, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. And it's like, I love you so much. And like, whatever you find out, just know that I've always loved you and I'll always love you no matter anything you learn. And we're hearing the police downstairs banging and saying, you know, police, open up, breaking down the door as she grabs a knife, takes Antonio and they like huddle in a little corner. She's using the knife like defensively, like she's going to attack the cops or something. And she's, as they come into the room, she's saying like, you can't take my baby. You'll never take my baby. And then we cut to an exterior of the house and just hear a gunshot. And that's the end of the movie. Yeah.
Wait. Oh my God.
Okay, so what do we think the gunshot was? We think that was the police killing her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before she had a chance to kill Antonio, because I was thinking she was going to kill.
I don't think she was going to kill Antonio.
You don't think
so?
Okay.
It certainly like was a possibility, but it didn't look like that was her intention.
No, her saying like, no matter what you learn, I feel like she was like, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the cops found her. This woman couldn't speak or see.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I guess she must have not been very far from the house.
Yeah, written something down, maybe.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. That was brutal.
A happy ending. Antonio probably reunited with his real mother Lucy.
Who's not going to have any problems at all.
No, she'll be really well adjusted.
She's
going
to snap right back to being a good mom.
Yeah, it really is one of those movies that makes you think how there's things so much worse than death. Death is really
a blessing in a lot of ways.
Not the worst thing that can happen.
Correct, correct.
What was the point of the movie? Is my question. What were we trying to, what was the message we were trying to
receive?
I think
it's about the dangers of loneliness and the ingredients to make someone a murderer or like potential things. I read something that was talking about how there's all these little things that don't necessarily mean anything on their own, like being acquainted with dissecting bodies from a really young age and having that desensitization to, you know, chopping up eyeballs and seeing the insides of bodies, and then having a very super traumatic event happen and witnessing it and
having like no emotional
no emotional or like no affectionate person to raise you, her dad being very distant. And so there's just all these things that led her down this dark path. Not saying that that's where that path has to and should have led, but I just think it was kind of about that, like those pieces of the puzzle to make somebody
really bad.
And so going back to the Saint Francis thing, I feel like the loneliness was a big part of it too, just like isolation and the things that you'll do to have someone company in the world beside you, which like just go and hang out at that bar and like meet people.
It's not that fucking hard.
It's not that fucking hard, bitch.
Like, just, you know where the bar is.
It's a lot harder to, like, keep a half dead man alive in your barn for several years.
It's a lot harder.
It's a lot harder to do that.
Lot harder.
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I guess just you do what you know. You know?
Yeah.
That was bad, and it could have been worse. Tough. It was tough. It was short, so it was like ripping a Band-Aid off.
Yep.
I was glad nothing bad happened to Antonio. I mean, a lot of bad things did happen to Antonio, but it could have been worse for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was fascinating. I've never, it never was boring, and it was never
predictable.
It's upsetting. I'm upset.
I know it is upsetting. It is just upsetting, really, though.
Like, really? Yeah.
It's just sad.
Brutal. Yeah. Like, really,
it's
devastating.
Just really sad.
Really devastating stuff.
Yeah.
Happening there.
It kind of made me want to rewatch A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which I don't know if is thematically similar, but just I think the black and white was reminding me that movie is also black and white and focuses mainly on a girl alone. And I was
people
like,
people have asked us to do that a lot. That's been a big
double feature
recommendation. Is
yeah, we do.
That
we
one.
Should do it eventually. It is very good. It's the same actress that's in The Rental, which we covered. And I really like her. And I do need to rewatch it.
Mm.
So, yeah, maybe we'll do that. But I think that one is a little, I mean, I can't really remember, but I don't think it's quite as dark and bleak as this one.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Yep. Ooh, this was, my goodness.
I love you, Sammy. I love you, Emily. I've got to go right now.
Okay.
I gotta go.
She has to go.
I love you guys so, so, so much. Like, literally, you don't even know. You don't even know how much I love you.
We love you, Henley. We love you, listeners. And just take care of yourselves. Get some vitamins.
Go see some people. Go take your vitamins. You know, it is a new year, so I do feel required to sort of remind you all to moisturize. You know, we are moisturizing.
Yep.
We are taking our supplements. We are going out and speaking to people. We're staying in and speaking to people. But we are just going to talk. We're going to talk to people whenever we can.
Mm-hmm. Human connection. It's important. We're social creatures.
We are social creatures. We are going to only provide nice and good opinions to people.
Yep.
What else are we going to do? What else
are we
going to
do? Journals.
We're going to do dream journals. God, it's going to be a really big year.
Really big year. Really great year. We'll try to do a more fun one next week.
That would be so cool.
That'd be so cool.
I would love it. Oh, I would love it.
And I'm sorry, but we have to do a voice, and there is a voice that I can do.
No, I don't. Sammy, fine.
Henley has departed.
2 weeks in a row, we've had one of us just disappear. Yeah, she's fine, but she also,
she
just had to listen to this, so she's not fine, and she's...
Yeah, she doesn't need to hear this part.
Oh, God damn it. All right, fine, just do it.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye.
Oh. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you really want to make our day, you can rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want even more content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. We will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.